So today, I want to talk about faith. How many of you guys have faith? Everybody. I hope everybody in here does. Eric? Okay, there we go. All right. So, faith. We all have faith, and it can be applied to many different things. It can be used in different ways. Faith is confidence or trust in something. Faith is belief. So now, especially in church, we hear the word faith, and immediately, probably every single person, you hear faith, and you think, oh, that's belief in God. That's easy. Most people outside the church, they hear the word faith, and they're like, oh, that's belief in God. They have it, they don't. But you can have faith in many things. You can have faith in Jesus. Sorry, I got these papers sticking out. They're really bugging me. You can have faith in Jesus, that he's your Savior, that he is good, that he saved you, that he's coming back for you. We have faith in those things. We have trust in those, confidence in those. We believe in those things. You can have faith in the government, or you can have a lack of faith in the government. Depends on who you ask and what program you're talking about. You can have faith that they'll continue to provide the programs that people need. You can have faith that they'll do what's best for you and for your safety. You can have faith that they will make everything as difficult as possible and take as long as possible anytime you need anything from them. Okay? That's a belief. That's confidence in the government. May not be a good confidence. But you can have faith in your employer that they'll still employ you tomorrow, that they're going to deposit your paycheck by direct deposit every 2 weeks. How many of you have faith in that? So when I was at Q&S, it was always deposit, direct deposit, and my pay stub was emailed to me, and I had a folder set up where it automatically go there. I never even saw it because it was the same every week. But I never really looked. Like, it's not like every other Friday I like got online, like, is it in there? I just had faith they were going to deposit it. If they didn't, I probably would find out pretty soon, and then I would be upset. But you can have faith in other people. You can even have faith in yourself. You can have faith that you won't fail, that you'll do better next time. You can have faith in the devil. Many of you believe that. You can. You can have faith in the devil. Worry, quite frankly, you might as well just replace worry. If you say worry, just replace it with faith in the devil. It's true. You can have faith that things will go wrong. You can have faith that you're destined for a terrible day, a terrible week, a terrible month, a terrible year, a terrible life. Okay? People have faith in those things. You just talk to them. You'll find out if they do. But you can have faith in all these different things. Jesus, the government, others, our jobs, ourself, all these different things. You can even have faith in Satan. So, based on that, it's safe to conclude that there's good faith and there's bad faith. Right? Do you guys agree with that? There's good faith and there's bad faith. So, some faith is a better quality than other faith. So what I'm going to preach about over the next several weeks is quality faith. Now, faith, again, is confidence or trust in something or belief. And how many of you have heard, all you have to do is believe? Is that Disney? Is it like some Disney thing? Is that where, I'm not sure where it comes from, but I've heard it 100 times in my life. All you have to do is believe. Now, that's not Bible. That's not in the Bible. All you have to do is believe. But it is true. All you have to do is believe. It's a principle taught in the Bible. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. We often receive exactly what we believe. If we believe in disaster, we often receive disaster. If we wake up and we're in a bad mood and we think we're going to have a crummy day, oftentimes you have a crummy day, right? You believe, you receive. When we believe in disasters, we put our faith, our trust, our confidence in negative things. We often get those. And now sometimes, I understand, sometimes you think, well, I'm just using logical thought. This happened, and my day's just, I don't see how it can get better from here. I say that you're not using rational or logical thinking, that you're using faith, but the wrong kind of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So when our day starts out crummy and we're just like, my day's going to be crummy. Yeah, it is. You believe, you receive. Hope for something better. Believe in receiving something that you don't see, that it's going to change. But aside from that, we also just sometimes have a different aspect of faith, because when we don't see things, it can be hard to believe, right? We're visual people. So I saw this story. It's about a young kid in class, and it says, one day a six-year-old was sitting in a classroom. The teacher was going to explain evolution to the children. So the teacher asked the boy, Tommy, do you see the tree outside? Yes, I do. Tommy, do you see the grass outside? Yes, I do. Tommy, go outside and look up and see if you can see the sky. And so, okay, he goes outside. He comes back a few minutes, and he's like, yes, I saw the sky. And the teacher says, Tommy, did you see God? And he says, no. And she said, exactly. That's my point. We can't see God because he isn't there. He just doesn't exist. So a little girl spoke up and she said, can I ask the boy some questions? Or can I ask Tommy some questions? And the teacher agreed. And the little girl says, Tommy, do you see the tree outside? Yes. Tommy, do you see the grass outside? Yes, I do. Tommy, did you see the sky? And he's like, yes. Okay, why are you asking me all the same questions? Tommy, do you see the teacher? Yes, I see the teacher. Tommy, do you see her brain? He's like, no. Well, then according to what we were taught here in school today, she must not have one. Okay? We have to have faith in things that we don't see. Okay? I trust that I have a brain in here. I've never seen it. I'm really hopeful that there is one in there. But we view things that way sometimes. You don't see the good things. You don't see that, how is my day possibly going to get any better? I'm sick. I'm in bed. Whatever your case may be, how is this going to get any better? I'll tell you how. Faith. With faith. Hebrews 1:11, or 11:1 again, and this time in the New Living Translation, I liked how it worded it. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith is confidence that what you hope for will actually happen. And you can have good faith and bad faith. You can have confidence that what you hope for will actually happen. And you're probably thinking, well, I don't have to actually hope for bad things. Yes, you do. The word hope right here, used in this verse, means to hopefully trust for. That means faith is the confidence that what we hopefully trust for will actually happen. You're putting your trust in something bad happening when that's what you focus on. So faith is important. Very, very, very important. And you can tell what kind of faith people have. You can tell what they have faith in just by the way when you talk to them. How you talk about situations. You've probably been around people that they talk negative about everything all the time. When they talk negative about every situation, guess what? This applies to everyone here, myself included. There are times where I don't speak with positive faith, okay? And my wife will be like, now, you know, let's look at it from this point of view. But when we don't see a situation that can be changed, when we don't see a positive alternative, then we're not putting faith in Jesus for that situation. It's a fact, okay? It doesn't matter how strong your faith in Jesus is, that you believe in him. Do you believe that he can work in that situation? What's your faith really like? Are you believing that the worst will happen? Because that's not faith in Christ. That's faith in Satan. So we need quality faith. Quality faith is faith that's superior. Okay? There's bad faith, there's good faith. Faith that's superior would be the faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus all the time, because we too often put faith in other things. We don't always recognize it, but we do. So some of you may have come here today with faith that I prepared a message. Maybe I did. Maybe this is all I have. Maybe I didn't prepare anything. Some of you have faith that I prepared a message, when what we really need faith in is that God Almighty is going to speak to us today. Every single one of us, myself included, we need to have faith not in me, but in him. Okay? You see, like, that's not bad faith to believe that I prepared a message. I mean, you kind of hope that I probably do. But what we really need to see, we need to see Christ in everything. We need to see, okay, God, are you going to speak to me through your word today? Not, is Pastor Tim going to preach a good message that I'm going to say is good and not remember next week? Because guess what? My words are not eternal. You won't remember my words forever. My words are not going to change your life, but the word of God will. We got to have faith in Christ in all things. So every other thing in this world, in this life, will fail at some point, and Jesus is the only one that will not. He's faithful. He's constant. We have to put our trust in him and in him alone. And so, again, the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about faith and about quality faith that can change your life and faith that can change this world. Amen? I believe that's what not just the church needs. I believe that's what the world needs right now is more faith. Okay? When we pray for people to be healed, we just have faith. God, you are good. You're greater than this situation. You're going to do it. When we pray for someone who is emotionally broken, we just believe, God, we have faith that you're greater than this. Like, it's faith in him. Faith in him is the only overcoming, powerful faith that we have. So if you would turn to 2 Peter. I'm going to preach out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I'm going to pray as you guys are turning there. And Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for your word. God, I don't know what we would do without it, Lord. Just, we're so honored and privileged to have Bibles, Lord, everywhere we turn. And Lord, I just pray that we would never take that for granted, Lord, that we would continue to esteem your word highly, Lord, that your word is above all things, Lord, that your word is supreme, that your word is truth. And Lord, I just pray that your word would change our lives, Lord, and that you would use us, God, to change this world by the power of your word, that you would write it on our hearts, Lord, that we wouldn't forget what your word says, that your word would be what changes our lives, not our own thoughts, our own ideas, but the word of God transforming our lives by the power of the Spirit of God. And we just ask you to do that today, Lord. Change each and every one of our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4 says this: Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers in divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I realize that doesn't seem to have a whole lot to do with faith, but it will. Peter starts out here with grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. This knowledge is simply a knowledge of the truth. A knowledge of the truth. It's knowing the word of God, but not just reading it, knowing it. Like knowing the truth. Knowing the truth about God, not what people say, but what does he say. And if we dig deeper, the deeper and wider in the knowledge of God, the more that grace and peace are multiplied. And if you look at what Paul's view was on the knowledge of God, in Philippians 3:8 he says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." When we have a knowledge of God, we have peace, because it's a whole lot more peaceful putting your faith in something that's true. It's a whole lot more peaceful putting your faith in Christ than it is putting your faith in something that is going to fail, something that's unsure. That's why we have peace multiplied when we have a knowledge of Christ. And now, when we really know the Word, and we really know Jesus, aren't we more likely to have faith in Him in all situations? I believe so. And if you come to the men's group on Saturdays at 7, you probably will hear me say almost every single week that if we could just get this, what we're talking about is great, but if we could just get it, like when this happens in my life, if I could remember to do this, it'd make a whole lot bigger difference. It's a knowledge of the Word. It's a knowledge of Christ, not just knowledge, but like knowing it. Like, oh, this is how I should react to this situation. Not like afterwards, after you blow up and like, well, the Bible says that's probably what I should have done. Okay, we need to know Christ. We need to know what the Word says and how we're to respond to things. And all I know is it's a lot easier to believe in Him and to believe in His promises when we have a knowledge of Him. Because when we have a knowledge of Him, when we know what the Word says, guess what we remember? He's faithful. That's why the knowledge is so important. It's why the Old Testament's so important. We have to know what all history leading up to Jesus was. I mean, you look at all the people that they died just waiting for, when is this Messiah coming? Believing in all this promise, all these promises. We see the faithfulness of God all through the Bible. You see the faithfulness that He stuck with it, that He never gave up on those people, that He never gave up on us. And C.S. Lewis said this: I know now, Lord, why You utter no answer. You Yourself are the answer. Before Your face, questions die away. What other answer would suffice? Sometimes God is the answer, okay? We don't have a knowledge of Him. We don't have a knowledge of what the Bible says in a situation. Sometimes He is just the answer, seeking Him, desiring Him. And in verse 3, it says that as His divine power has given to us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus, in His divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This means that God Himself acted in His infinite power to accomplish salvation, something that no human could do. Not a single one of us can do it for ourselves. And the divine power of God is our source for sufficiency, because it's by His power that He's provided the way. So by it, by the power of God, His divine power, He's given us everything that we need. In 1 Peter 1:5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The word kept right there is a military term. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. That word kept means protection. One, a guard who stands as a protection from the enemy. The power of God keeps us, protects us from the enemy through faith. Through faith. That's where we're protected, through the enemy, through faith, through believing Jesus is greater. He can work in this situation, not my situation is going to continue or get worse. By the same power that He gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness, by that same power, He protects us from the enemy through faith. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. He is good. We don't need more than what He's already given us. We don't need more, because He's already given us all things. If He's already given us all things, what more do we need? Just Him. Just Him. And you think about the society we live in. We need more. Everybody needs more, right? Because we're in a gimme, gimme, gimme society. Everybody needs more. Everybody wants more faster, right? You've heard, like, I'm sure many times before, we live in like this microwave society. Not only do we want more, we want it like, okay, come on, God. People are quick to turn to the world for more. Every single one of us in here has probably done it at some point in our lives. And I don't even know if these people are relevant anymore, but, you know, Dr. Phil, Oprah, what do they have to say about this? And I'm not saying those people are bad. I don't watch them, so I don't know. But people will turn to the things of this world because they want more. Christians, people that are Bible believers, turn to these help shows, to all the things the world has to offer, because they want more. But the Word of God says that we've been given all things that we need pertaining to this life and to godliness. Why do we need more? We don't need more. But we want somebody give me more so that I can have peace. I need something to put my trust in. I need something to hope in. I need something to believe in. But then you notice that when we find more, it brings peace, it brings satisfaction that lasts about how long? Till we desire more. Like, well, okay, I forgot what that was even about yesterday. I need more. Help me, give me more. And we just go from one thing to the next. Now what will give me hope? Now that that thing's passed away, what's the next thing that I can hope in, that I can trust in? And some of you have been there and done this. I've done it, okay? Why do we need to pursue anything other than God? Why? We have it all right here. Right in the Word of God. It's the knowledge of Him. It's faith in Him. How many of you have heard of Corrie ten Boom before? TJ, you look really confused. She was somebody that was in a Nazi camp. And there's a, is it called The Hiding Place? Does anybody know? There's a book and there's a movie. Very, very good. I recommend it to anybody. But Corrie ten Boom said this. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That's good. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And this is somebody that was being persecuted. Okay? Somebody that's life was going way worse than what ours is. And she's saying, I trust my unknown future in a known God. I don't know if I'm going to live another day. I might die right before I even get done writing this. She may die. And she says, I place my unknown future in the hands of a known God. When we pursue things other than Christ, we lose our focus. We have lost it. If you're pursuing, I don't care how long you've been walking with God, if you are pursuing something other than Christ to fill some kind of need for hope, some kind of need for peace in your life, then you've lost your focus. I'm not saying that you've lost your salvation, you're going to hell. I'm saying you've lost your focus. It's time to get it back on track. When verse 3 said, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, we have to know what life is. He's given us all things that pertain to life. How do we view life? What do we view life as? Do we look at life through the eyes of the world and base it off of what we see? Because if we do that, we lose sight of what life really is. Life is not what we have, okay? And we're all guilty of that, I'm sure, at some point. Life is not about what we have. It is about what we have. It's whether we have faith in Christ. But it's not about possessions. It's not about our finances. It's not about material things. It's not about our status. I shared that last week or the week before, but or a couple weeks ago. But it's not about any of those things. We have to keep focused on what is life really about? What is the purpose of life? What did Jesus come to this earth for? What did he come for? We have to think about that. And I got a list of scriptures, so I'm going to go through them. They're not going to be up here, so you may want to write them down. Matthew 10:34 says, Do not, every one of these is Jesus speaking, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I'm going somewhere with this. Luke 12:49, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Luke 12:51, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. These are the words of our Savior. John 9:39 says, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness, should not remain in darkness. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all who are oppressed. Again, these are all statements made by Jesus himself, and each and every one of them point to the same thing, the reason for his coming. The reason for his coming. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. I came that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. He came that we could have life, and he has given us all things, every single thing that pertains to life. Yet we look somewhere else. We're constantly looking somewhere else for more. All those things, you can go through those scriptures, and every one of those scriptures points to life. They point to life in Christ. 2 Peter 1:4 says, continuing on, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Faith is believing in these exceedingly great and precious promises. These aren't, okay, these aren't just lame promises like we make, okay? I make promises, and I really try not to make a promise and break them, but listen, the promises that we make are nothing like the promises that God makes. they're nothing like it. The Word of God says that they're exceedingly great, better than any other, and they're precious promises. So if we trust in God's promises, if we're confident in his promises, in his word, there's no need to look elsewhere. And we think about Abraham, the whole story of Abraham. I've read through Genesis a couple of times this year already, and like, it never gets old. Okay, Genesis, it's awesome. It just never gets old. But we see Abraham, and God says to him in Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6, says, then he brought him outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And what's Abraham's response? He believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. God added up everything that Abraham's belief meant to him, to God. He added it all up and determined it was equal to righteousness. That's pretty strong faith. That's pretty amazing faith. It was because of Abraham's faith. His faith was entirely in God, in God's promises. When we trust in God's words and in his promises, you know what it produces? right living, just like it did in Abraham. Faith produces right living. Trust in God produces right living. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. We've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, so no one can boast. It's nothing that we've done. But it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. We see grace as unmerited favor. Grace is something that we don't deserve, a gift, a free gift that you can't earn. And that's correct. That is what grace is. But look at John 1, verses 16. It says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Grace is more than just unmerited favor. It's more than that. Grace is God meeting us at our point of need through Jesus, including all of his power and provision. Grace is God meeting us at our point of need through Jesus. Remember, Jesus, in his divine power, has given us all things that lead, that pertain to life and godliness. It's by his grace that we're granted the faith. It's by his grace that we're granted the faith to even be able to hold fast to these exceedingly great, precious promises. It's all from the power of God. I mean, like, I can't even explain how I feel inside. Like, it's because of the power of God and because of the grace of him meeting us right where we're at. That's why we even have the faith to believe in what he says. It's amazing. It blows my mind. We look at 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 20, says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. In his precious promise of salvation, we become children of God in this lifetime. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Faith. It's faith. It's by faith we become children of God. We have the promise of his return that I prayed about earlier. And I believe that we're in the last days, and people laugh and they mock and they scoff at that. But that's to be expected. Peter tells us that. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. The scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now here's what I know. Jesus is coming back. Because he said he was. Okay? Because I have faith. I believe. I have trust, confidence in something that I don't see. Okay? It doesn't appear that he's coming back to most people because our world keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But if you read the Bible, it's evidence that he is. Okay? It's evidence that he is coming back sooner, or soon, I hope. Remember, our definition of time and his aren't quite the same. What I say is soon, like, to me is like preferably before lunch, like, but he may be thinking tomorrow. That's soon enough for me, though. I can make it another day. But we have to have the faith, the confidence, and believe in him. In him, not in the world. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That's faith. But people have been saying for thousands of years that Christ is returning, like that we're in the end times. You read it in the Word of God. They say we're in the last days. That was a long time ago. What about that? Well, 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us." He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, it's the stubborn people on this earth is why Jesus hasn't come back yet, okay? It's us. It's because he wants everybody to be saved. He wants people to repent, to change from the way that they live their life, to stop putting trust in the world and putting trust in Satan, bad things happening, and start putting their trust and their faith in him. If people would do that, he would come back. God keeps his promises. He is faithful, but are you faithful? Am I faithful? Do we put our trust, our hope in him every time? Peter said that these promises will help us participate in the divine nature and escape the world of the corruption of the world. That's what the promises of God will do. They'll help us escape the corruption of the world. Because the more we know of Christ, the more we will put our faith in him. The more we put our faith in him, the less we rely on this corrupt world. Make sense? The more we know Christ, the more we put faith in Christ. And the more faith we put in him, the less we put in this world. The more we know of Jesus, the less we rely on ourselves. That's important too. The more we know him, the less we rely on us. Back to 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, says, "But also for this very reason, because of the promises, because of the power, because of the faith that God's given us, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, add godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, add love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge," goes back to the beginning, "in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." When we don't have these things, it's when we go back to the world. Help me. I need hope. I need peace in my life. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's good. Because of God and the blessings that he's given us, because of that blessing, he has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. We are to live as Christ taught. It's our responsibility to take this world-changing faith that we've been given and to actually live a godly life. That's our responsibility. That's on us. That's on us. It's not on God, because God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And we ought to have these desires, these qualities of a transformed heart. That's what those things are. If you go back and look through all those, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, all these things, they are qualities of a transformed heart. And once we have faith, we have to have these qualities. We have to have them. It says if you have them, you will never stumble, nor will you be unfruitful. We have to have virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And those are what I'm going to be looking at over the next several weeks, is those qualities that we're to add to faith, but you got to have faith first. Those qualities are nothing without faith. I don't care how much how nice you are to people, how much you say that you love people, if you don't have faith in God, your love for people is squat. It doesn't mean anything. Absolutely nothing. When you have quality faith, it's faith that lasts. It's faith that's powerful, faith that's overcoming, and it's faith that brings change not just to our own lives, but to the people around us. That's what we need, right? I don't really just want just my life changed. I want the lives of everybody in here changed and everybody that I'm around wherever I go. We need an increase of faith. An increase of faith. God's already given us all things. Why do we need an increase of faith? Well, the apostles, they asked for an increase of faith. I believe it was in Rome, or in, I don't remember. I didn't write it down. I think it was in Romans. But they asked for an increase of faith. The apostles did. They're with Jesus. Like, how much more faith do you need? He's right there. But we need an increase of faith. You know why we need an increase of faith? Because of us. It's not that God hasn't already given it. He gave all things that pertain to life and godliness. But Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It comes full circle. Back to a knowledge of God, it increases our faith. We need the knowledge of him. And we also need the voice of the enemy to be silenced in our lives. We need to stop having the negative faith. We need to stop allowing it. If it's coming from other people, tell them to shut up or get away from them. Get them out of your life. We got to silence that negative faith, the voice of the enemy. Paul said in Romans that whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Whatever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. Because where faith glorifies God, because we trust in him, a lack of faith is dishonoring to God. A lack of faith, if you don't have faith in God, you have faith in something else that's not God. Liz, if you want to come, wherever you're at, right there. We have a sufficiency in Jesus Christ. We have access to an abundant life, as he says in John 10:10, a life free from worry and care, but have you claimed it? I do believe that. I believe free from worry. We can have a life free from worry. Worry is faith in the enemy. It's faith that something bad's going to happen. That's not good. I believe you can have a life free from worry. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be great. It means that when things are really bad, you look to God. Like, okay, this situation really stinks, but I have faith in what God's word says about this situation, about my life, not in what I see, not in what the doctors say, not in my bank account, okay? We can have a life free from worry and care about this life, but have we claimed it? Are we growing in a knowledge of Christ through not just the reading of his word, but in yielding to his spirit, in doing what he tells us to do? Why do we have people believe in all other kinds of spiritual things until it comes to God, right? Like something falls off the shelf and like, I got a demon in my house. Like, why isn't the Holy Spirit in your house? Okay, people believe in that stuff. We need to yield to the spirit in our life. So the question comes down to this. Do you want the life that Jesus has to offer, or do you want the life the world has to offer? Because that's the decision that we make with our faith. Every situation, when we exercise faith, we're exercising the right to choose what Jesus has to offer or what the world has to offer. Has what he has given us, is that enough? Is that all that we need? Or do we need more? That's a decision that we make every single time that we exercise faith, whether we realize it or not, every time. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we forfeit so much if we reject the life that he's bought for us. Okay? Why do we accept him as Savior, but then we don't put our faith in him for everything else in our life? I don't mean to be mean, but I don't really care about this life. I do, but I want the life that's to come. Okay? I don't want to struggle through this life and it be miserable and like I can't wait to get out of here. I'm going to live this life with faith while I'm here, but I want everything that Jesus has for me. What he purchased on the cross, that's what I want. Life right now in this earth, faith in him in all situations. And I probably can't say it enough, but I'm not just preaching this to you guys. I'm preaching it to myself, okay? I get frustrated. I get upset about situations, and I don't see things through the eyes of Christ like I ought to sometimes. And praise God that he's given me the woman of God in my life that he has. And you guys should thank her. I may not be standing up here today if he didn't. I don't know that I can make it through every week. But we have right now everything that pertains to life and to godliness through faith that we can receive in him. So I'm going to open up the altar for prayer. If anybody wants to receive prayer, if you don't, you can worship. Liz is going to lead us in a song or two. And here's what I want everybody to consider, though. I want everybody to consider, if you feel like you've fallen short in faith, that you need an increase of faith. I believe that we all need an increase of faith, but okay, I want you to make one of two decisions today. If you need to just get something off your chest and you need to just to give it to God, you're more than welcome to just come up and pray at the altar. If you want somebody to pray with you in faith, believing for God to change the way that you think, for God to help you silence the voice of the enemy and to put your faith in him in all situations, I want you to come to myself or Ben. If you feel like you're not right with God and you want somebody to pray with you and get right, come to Ben or I. If you have any other need, okay, it's not limited to this sermon today. If you have any need at all that you want somebody to pray a prayer of faith, you can come and see Ben or myself, and we'll believe with you. We'll pray with you, and we'll believe that whatever you ask, according to God's will, go back and listen to the message on prayer, but whatever you ask according to God's will, I believe that he'll do it in your life today, whatever that is. So if you want to begin to lead in worship, as people feel moved to come down for prayer, you can do so. If you don't have any prayer requests, just worship the Lord for that faith, that overcoming, powerful faith that he's given us today, and thank him for it today.